Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Don't have slash may have had slash don't know if you've ever had it.
But everything you just said is accurate. Everything you just said is accurate. Patrick, anything? Any thoughts to add to the soundbite conversation?
Not today.
Well said. Well said.
Hey, yo.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I'd actually like to take this opportunity to wish
Greg DeMarco Show
the best in all his future endeavors.
All right, it is a Tuesday night, May the 4th. Patrick O'Dowd, just get the stupid May the 4th thing out of the way now. Let's just do it now.
Why are you putting this on me? I already put out a whole episode of Bandwagon Nerds today doing May the 4th. So, like, I don't need to be your puppet.
And also with you. Okay. Also with you. It's very Catholic. Everyone responds and also with you, and I don't even think they know why they say that. Like, I should say
Catholic
everyone.
Guilt.
I mean, I was Catholic.
Yeah, yeah. Catholic guilt. That's it. I did the sign of the cross literally as I just, I feel like that's the only thing I know how to do with that.
Yeah, we could kneel and stuff during the show, but we're not going to. We have no reason to. I mean, we could, oh, wow. Apparently when you're hovering over something and you move the mouse, all the soundbite things move. So I'm trying to,
yeah,
I need to get them back to
that.
Where they are. I've accidentally put things in order. So we use this. We use FUBAR, the soundboard, for the ICW theme songs as well. And not the last event, but the event before, the person running the sound accidentally alphabetized them. Miranda will probably remember this. And it drove
her. I remember
her,
this.
She freaked the hell out. Like, literally, it was like, oh.
Cause, a little bit of a freak out moment.
Because I pre-prepped them.
We got it together.
Yes, got them together. During wrestling matches tend to be, you know, at least 8 to 12 minutes long, gives you enough time to figure things out. Let's throw it to Miranda Morales real quick and see what she thinks. Just kidding. She got up. People, full curtain back. This is the equivalent of PC Tunney going and getting a beer in any one of the podcasts that he does. And yeah. this is him right there. So, yes, today is May 4th. We're recording this Tuesday, May 4th, Star Wars Day, although tomorrow is Revenge of the 5th. Although now everything, apparently it's the whole month now, Patrick O'Dowd. Have you seen this is the May?
Like, I have seen This Is the May. That's too much. I'm a Star Wars fan, and I'm like, that's too much. Like, settle down. Settle down. Like, and Disney, this week has been a busy Disney week in general. Like, they dropped a Marvel sizzle reel yesterday. Now they're doing all this Star Wars shit today. Well, they don't get a whole month. We don't need.
They want it, though.
A whole month of Star Wars.
They want it. They want the whole month, and they're doing everything.
I mean, it's Disney, so they're going
to
do it. Like, yeah. They don't give a shit what I say, but like, it's too much. It's too much. You're giving us too much Star Wars, Disney. You dropped like a show and some cool pictures, and that's all you needed to do. That's it. We're happy with that. We're an easy fan base.
This is our first show during the month of May, however, so we have to. I don't even think I have the original anymore. I think that's long gone. So, but you know what rhymes with May, Patrick O'Dowd? Your favorite letter in the alphabet rhymes with May.
It does.
Awesome!
I came to.
Okay.
There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your knees.
Okay.
To the good old days. They're never coming back.
Fuck you, Pat.
Just want to throw that one in there. I haven't played that in a couple weeks. I was gone. Miranda, I gotta have fun.
Miranda targeted.
That's a targeting call.
Thank you, new best friend. Greg, have you heard about our new shirt that we're gonna work on here?
Okay. Oh, funny how this topic comes up and Miranda freezes. Good old Tucson, Arizona internet works out so well.
I'm just saying, you know, 2 weeks without you, the things have changed.
You guys did admirably well, and I was excited about the fact that you guys did so well and were able to fill in. Neither planned, and so you guys did a great job coming in and making the changes, doing what was needed, and I'm trying to not point out the fact that I haven't listened to either episode. So that's I did listen to the Chair Shot Radio.
Fine.
You guys did,
yeah,
and
it's fine.
I was excited about that. I don't even.
We're the new. Yeah, we're the new besties. That's where we're getting t-shirts made. Definitely a whole line. Definitely even a new podcast. So many plans in the works for the
Sounds
besties.
Like it.
The new besties podcast coming to you whenever Greg can't do.
Oh, those things will happen.
Face Heel podcast.
There'll be other times. Because now I know. But now I know you guys are capable. And so it makes it easy for me.
Miranda actually brought this point up, I think, on the second show. She was like, now that Greg knows that we could actually do it, like, he might just disappear on us because he's tired. Work is hard. You can't see me doing air quotes, but I'm doing it live on.
I can hear you doing air quotes. Patrick, go down. Everyone knows you're doing air quotes. You don't have to tell them.
That's right.
You make it pretty obvious.
I may have watched that Chris Farley Saturday Night Live skit yesterday. It's one of the few redeeming qualities of Peacock is the greatest hits of Saturday Night Live playlist. Yeah. No, but I'm thinking like a flowing 80s style script with like our faces on each side, mm-hmm. like kind of looking at each other all happy like.
Yeah.
New besties.
The new besties. It's happening.
Hey, man, if people will buy it, I'll fucking list it. You know that. Like, I don't even care.
That's true.
Like, I will put it on the website. I will put it out there and let people buy. Once you sell a certain number of shirts.
You ever want.
What's that? No, go ahead.
I said the real question is, why would anybody buy anything with my face on it?
Well, I was going to say, for Greg, it's a shirt where his two best friends are on it at the same time. I mean,
Greg wearing the new
best. I'd probably buy it. Yeah, I'd probably be the one who bought it. and would flaunt it and wear it around and wear it on air. And yeah, I'd wear it. So it'd be fun. I'd wear it on the Tuesdays that I'm not available is what I would do. Although last Tuesday I was semi-available, just not available for the first part, was available for the second two shows that we record. Because we record, most people know by now, but we go Babyface Heel Podcast, followed by Chair Shot Radio, followed by the hashtag Miranda Show. They don't air in that order, but that's the order. Because Patrick O'Dowd, as you now know, Miranda and I do Chair Shot Radio on Wednesday morning. Not Thursday morning.
Yes, we do.
Thursday morning is Ray Cash and Darren Maggs Kirkby. That's Thursday.
But believe me, I apologize profusely.
You did. You did. No, you did. Did.
Repeatedly.
He was very sorry. Yeah, he was really sorry.
I felt terrible. I corrected my new bestie, and my new bestie ran with the correction.
She did.
I told him with Thelma and Louise this. We're going off the cliff together. That's what besties do.
Ride or die.
Yep.
Ride or die.
So anyway, for those of you listening and have no idea what's going on, this is the Babyface Heel Podcast because there are two sides to every storyline. I am the heel, Patrick is the babyface, and Miranda is stuck in the middle. Okay, you know what? No. Miranda's the heel, Patrick's the babyface, and I, Greg DeMarco, am stuck in the middle, forced to be the referee, the peacekeeper, the tweener, and free to choose sides as I wish. Not really. This show, of course, is part of the Chairshot Radio Network, which you can hear over at your favorite wrestling website, thechairshot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Go ahead and follow along at ChairShot Media for the ChairShot Radio Network and TheChairShot.com. Follow me at ChairShot Greg. My name is Greg DeMarco. I don't know if I said that. If so, well, I said it again. This show is, of course, available on TheChairShot.com. It's also available on your favorite streaming platforms like iTunes, Spotify, iHeart, Google Play, and so many more. So go ahead and like, subscribe, leave us that 5-star review. Tell a friend, enjoy the shows together, find a bestie, listen to the besties, and you'll have a great time. We have content that comes out. We basically have 3 podcasts per day, 7 days a week. So we got you covered and then some here at the Chair Shot Radio Network. All 3 of us combined do like 6 shows, so if not 7. So yeah, we got tons of content for you to enjoy. As the week flows on, of course, you've already heard their voices. You have the wrestling realist, Patrick O'Dowd. He is on the Twitter, at Wrestling Realist. That's WrestlingRealist. And you have the queen of soft style, Miranda Morales. She is on the Instagram, but not the Twitter. Also the Facebook, at the hashtag Miranda. So seriously, thank you guys for filling in last week and the week before. Appreciated it as things come up and life gets crazy. Sometimes it's a busy time of year for both the working and the lifing, and so that worked out really, really well. Heck, we started this week. For people listening, we actually recording earlier this week thanks to some craziness that's going on. So it's all good. It's all good.
I love, by the way, that you messaged me and asked me if going earlier for the East Coast guy was ever going to be remotely a problem.
Here's the thing, Patrick O'Dowd. The one time I don't ask you is going to be the one time that you have something until 10:30. So that's
No. It's not a Thursday. It's not a Monday.
It's called covering all
you're
bases.
You're fine.
It's a Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday.
It is a Tuesday.
I just felt very compelled.
You did.
It was a good dude. Yes.
Yes. Tuesday. That's probably not going to catch on. That's probably not going to stick. Yeah. The two thing worked for a while. No one even does the two thing anymore. Like, they really don't.
Yeah, it died.
No one, yeah. Two.
Well, I mean, right now, no one does anything. But I just think it died out. Like, I just, you know.
Yeah. It jumped the shark. It kind of, you know, we moved on when, as a fan base.
Yes.
Most things, you know, come and go through WrestleMania. And once WrestleMania hit like 7.5 hours, I think people were like, yes, two. Move on, please. If it could be 3, that'd be nice so we can get to the next match. That'd be great. So 3 would be preferred. So what we need to start establishing the 1 when people kick out at 1, because that doesn't happen as often, especially now that John Cena is not wrestling as much. So it'd be nice if we had people do 1 when we kick out at 1, but 2 is still a thing. So I don't even know what the hell we're talking about at this point. This is good.
You have a proper rundown. Yeah,
I made a rundown. I'm very excited. Couple things to do. I didn't put the Chair Shot section on there, but I did. First off, of course, want to thank you guys, which I've already done twice now. I did want to shout out yesterday or the Tuesday morning edition of Chair Shot Radio that I put out was a 2012 interview that Patrick O'Dowd and I conducted with the one and only, currently known as Chris Adonis. Back then, he was Christopher Mordetsky. Everyone knows him as Chris Masters. And the great thing about finding and re-releasing the interview with Chris Masters is, Patrick, it might be my favorite interview we've ever done. Like,
yeah, it was funny when I listened to it. I forgot how long it was.
Yeah, 45 like, minutes.
I forgot that we went. Yeah, that we went as long as we did. And then I forgot how far into like the wellness conversation that we had with him went, and just him talking about what he learned from that.
Mm-hmm.
It was, you know, his very strong exuberance to A Man Called Sting.
And the theme song for A Man Called Sting. Yes.
Right. He asked, did we play Demolition next week? I forgot. Like he put in requests.
We probably did because we did have the Demolition theme song for a while. That's probably how we got it. I would imagine is that's where it came from. So, cause I heard that part too. And I was like, cause then he started like singing it during the interview. I mean,
yes, he was really excited. He loved his retro entrance music.
So go back. If you haven't, go back and listen to the Chair Shot Radio, the Tuesday morning edition of Chair Shot Radio. It's a 45 minute long episode, but the entire thing is our interview from 2012 with Chris Masters. So many good talks about his relationship with Carlito and what it was like to actually get to wrestle Shawn Michaels. Just and he's just literally him admitting how much of a fan he is. It was like when we would interview Ethan Page before he thought he was cool. Like that's the kind of interview that the Chris Masters interview was. Like that's what that reminded me of. Like back when Ethan Page would text us pictures of him reading 411 Mania and saying that he's a mark on there and now he is just a different kind. So, but the Chris Masters, Christopher Mordetsky interview was amazing. And as we approach the 10-year mark, Patrick O'Dowd, which is coming here in the next few weeks, and we have to do something for 10 years of podcasting, which I'm going to worry about after May 15th. I thought about maybe hitting up Mr. Adonis about a return engagement for an interview, even if it has to be pre-recorded or what needs to be done. Because as you saw, he followed me on Twitter today after I released the interview. So you got the in, right? You got the in. So Mr.
Speaking of new best friends.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Bring him on in. I could just accidentally call him like an Alex Chamberlain and just, he just have to be on. But that'll.
Yeah. I think that still almost has to be an interview of just you accidentally calling Alex Chamberlain right. Again, saying, "Hey, while you're on the line,
while you're here,
do another interview.
Let's just do this right now." That's the one of the time. Like last week, I was sad that we didn't do a video edition of the hashtag Miranda Show because it was so good. And the time that we accidentally called Alex Chamberlain was a time that I was sad I wasn't recording before the show started, because that would have been great to have on air as well. But you know what, listeners, think about the great stuff we give you on air. Just imagine the fun that we have off air. So that was, I want to make sure we get that out there. We are approaching 10 years. I have talked to a few people about the 10-year mark. If you've been listening to the show for 10 years, you can probably guess who they are. And who they aren't, because some of those people now work for a big giant corporation that's global and doesn't let anybody do anything.
Right.
So if you're thinking I'm going to get Adam Pearce, I'm not. So don't. He just got promoted. So yeah, it's not going to happen.
He's busy.
He's busy. Well, he'll be busier once they start touring. But yeah, that's very exciting. But again, just excited to be back, excited for this week's episode. I got a topic. I redid a rundown. They were joking that I actually did a rundown. This is the first rundown since March the 2nd that I've put together. So it's been 2 months since I've typed up a rundown. So excited about that. Your rundown for both of you says March the 2nd. I have since corrected that on my version to say May 4th. So I did make that change on my end, but I'm excited about that. But Miranda, I can't just jump in and start the show because there's something that you might want me to do before that happens.
Yes, sir. I'm going to need you to wind it up.
It's time!
Yes, it is indeed time for you to go to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to pick up your very own chair shot t-shirt today. There at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot, you're going to find over 25 different t-shirt designs, all in support of thechairshot.com. Lots of different logos and colors and styles to choose from. T-shirts start at $19.99, but hey, if you want to spend a few extra dollars, you can upgrade into soft style, which I highly recommend. There's lots of cool t-shirt designs, including the OG Chairshot logo, multiple Always Use Your Head t-shirts, and then such lovely t-shirts as the official unofficial t-shirt of Patrick O'Dowd, hashtag Save Tag Team Wrestling, the Queen of Soft Style shirt, and of course, Everybody Hates Greg. Don't forget to pick up your Bandwagon Nerds t-shirt, A Winner Is You, and so much more at prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Go get your t-shirt today.
Usually you say it twice. It threw me off, but that's okay. Here we go. Commercial time.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Sierra Hotel, India, Echo, Lima, Delta, Shield.
November 18th, 2012, three men jumped the guardrail at WWE Survivor Series, helping CM Punk retain his WWE Championship. They quickly became no one's mercenaries, and in less than 3 years were established as one of wrestling's most dominant and talked about factions ever. Now Dean Ambrose is Jon Moxley, the top star for AEW. Seth Rollins is a multi-time world champion and boasts the greatest Money in the Bank cash-in of all time. And Roman Reigns is your, my, and all of our tribal chief and fully acknowledged as the biggest star in the wrestling business today. One Money in the Bank briefcase, two Royal Rumble wins, and 11 world champions between them, not to mention too many pay-per-view main events to count. These three men have already put together Hall of Fame careers that could never be forgotten. We'll start with Patrick O'Dowd. As you know, our conversation is going to be about The Shield, because that iconic theme song that you just heard is no longer in existence, thanks to Roman Reigns' new theme debuted on Friday Night SmackDown. Patrick O'Dowd, what do you view as the impact of The Shield on wrestling as we know it today?
Well, I mean, on wrestling, I'm not... It's kind of crazy. I'm not sure how I view it on wrestling today. I view it as one of the greatest launching pads for three careers in wrestling history. Like, you just laid out all the accolades and where these guys have gone. Not a single one of them faced anywhere. I mean, some would argue that Dean Ambrose in the WWE wasn't the success that people wanted him to be, but clearly his AEW run has shown that he's Hall of Famer all the way, just like the other two. But, you know, I still go back to it's a faction, or it's a unit that ended earlier than I kind of wanted it to. And so I wonder where it could have been, what it could have done if it had gone 2 years, you know, another year, maybe another year, whatever, 2 years before they sort of went their own separate ways. And, you know, I don't think the timing was terrible. I just think it was, I felt like there was more there with The Shield, to where I don't put them on an echelon quite to where like the NWO, which changed everything, really. Like, this was like,
hang on. Don't compare to other factions. That's a later question in the rundown.
That's not fair. I think it was, I don't know that the Shield was influential to like the way business was done in the WWE. I think it was probably the greatest launching pad for three careers I've ever seen in my years of watching wrestling. Like, that's where I see their legacy.
I agree.
They were a beginning of something huge.
I agree completely. First off, it's funny, like, Dean Ambrose is only viewed as less successful because of the careers that Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns have had. Dean Ambrose is a two-time world champion in WWE before going to AEW.
Which is like the same as like one U.S. title run.
Right.
There's an equivalency ratio to that.
That's basically equivalent to being the greatest AEW wrestler of all time, which he kind of is by default. At this point, he's their biggest, most marketable star, not named Chris Jericho, and he's just different. And it launched his career. And then, of course, Rollins, like that was, you know, he skyrocketed, Reigns skyrocketed. You talked about how it launched the careers of three people. And that's the thing, like, outside of Evolution, which Triple H was already established and Ric Flair was already established, no group has launched a career of every single member. Usually, someone is left behind. And whether it's a group, whether it's a tag team, there's usually just someone who doesn't get what, you know, the same benefit as other people. But The Shield launched the careers of three mega box office stars, three main event quality stars that are going to be in this business for who knows how, as long as they want to be. Anyway, and that's just something that's insane that The Shield did that. And I don't think anybody could have predicted it. One of the big conversations about The Shield back in the day was which one of the three was going to be the major star, or which one of the three would slip through the cracks. And really none of them did. Obviously none of them did. They all had, if all three retired today, all three would go into the Hall of Fame. Ambrose would still go into the Hall of Fame like he would. It's just, you know, they'd all go in twice, right? They'd go in as a unit and they'd go in as individuals. That's what WWE does. But it's crazy how they that's why the impact on wrestling as we know it today, they didn't change the business, but they established three of the sport's biggest stars. And all because of three guys wearing tactical gear that entered through the crowd, one of the coolest entrances. I mean, I still walk down the stairs and occasionally will think of The Shield theme, like, as I do. Like, it's just, how can you not walk down the stairs and kind of be like, nar, 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 nar. Like, it's just, the thing. Like, and I have stairs in my house, and Patrick has lots of stairs in his house. So it's, you know, you got to teach your kid to, you know, play the Shield theme going down the stairs. But it's a part of wrestling history, and it is not even 3 years that their run was, not even 3 years before the chair shot heard around the world that broke up the unit. And here we are today with three of the biggest stars in the business. Miranda, I don't even want to ask a pointed question. I want you to be able to say whatever you want. Like, what do you think of where we are today, thanks to the 2.5 year run of the Shield?
Well, I want to agree and take a step further of what you said regarding the comparison to Evolution, even though you said we weren't going to compare because that was a later question. So you just broke your own rule. Just wanted to throw that out there.
You're right.
But also, I think for me, it reinstilled my faith in factions because of exactly that. Of that theory and that philosophy of, you know, it's used to elevate somebody. And not only did it elevate one member, it elevated all three. And I don't recall a faction that had that much of an impact on within the WWE, but pro wrestling in general. And also the fact that all three of these wrestlers really helped elevate the WWE into a new era and a new almost generation. I do feel like kids who grew up watching the Shield and are now growing up seeing whether it is Moxley and AEW or Seth or Roman, you know, that's going to be the memories that really carry them through their teenage and adulthood. And, you know, when everyone thinks about what they saw as a kid, for me, it was DX and the NWO. For some kids, it's going to be the Shield. And that's going to, and they were cool. I think they also helped reinstate a cool factor in wrestling that we constantly talk about that seems a little lost. And, you know, it gravitated not only a younger audience, but an older audience as well. And as far as just, you know, what happens has happened in such a short amount of time, they've really been able to establish three world champions, but also the storytelling between them has been very intricate and long and detailed that when they did get back together for a short brief moment of time, everyone went crazy for it because of how they broke up. The chair shot heard around the world for years, really. Dean Ambrose's resentment and hatred towards Seth Rollins. You know, Roman did his own thing for a while, but the tension between Seth and Dean because of that, and even remembering, you know, Dean's face when Seth did it, like there was years of storytelling they played out in lots of different ways too, that I appreciated all from that one moment. So I think not only did they help with, you know, bringing and utilizing a faction in one of the best ways we've seen in years, but also good storytelling and one of the, you know, the best rivalries that we've had, you know, I think in this decade in the WWE.
Yeah, it's crazy because we're coming up on 7 years of the Shield breaking up, which is just nuts. Like, that seems like such a recent faction, such a recent everything. And they were coming up in 9 years from their debut and 7 years from their breakup. It's crazy insane to think of where we're at and how the business has changed and how it's grown and evolved. And those three guys have grown and evolved with it. Patrick, you mentioned something that is, and really it kind of combines things that both of you guys have said. They, with the moment they debuted after that attack and their entrance and the music and everything, they were instant main eventers. Like, they were main eventing house shows from the jump, from day one. They even one time, because of injuries, literally opened up a house show and then got on a helicopter, were shipped to another house show where they main evented, got off the helicopter in the building, down the stairs to the ring they went. Like, that's what they had to do. And I think that was one of those house shows that featured like a 40-minute tag match just so we could extend the show so the Shield could be there. That's how big they were so fast and so early. And that didn't ruin their careers. A lot of people's careers would have been ruined by being so successful so fast.
Right. And honestly, the only person who suffered any backlash for the Rocket was Roman Reigns for a while. Like, of the three, like, that's the one that got the tag of shove down our throat.
But that wasn't even until after they broke up.
No, I know, but like as you talk about like the after effect, like you know, you said they're instant main eventers, and what, and it was always such a ridiculous take when you consider that all three of them were prominently part of WWE.
Oh, yeah, they were all shoved down our throat
from the get go. Like they were all there, but Reigns, I think because Reigns was kind of the first to get the main event push, quote, you know, like he became the one that then became disdained. You know, it was funny. You mentioned people talking about like who, where they were, what they're going. I remember our conversation after they debuted, with, it was you, me, and, who was the third? I can't remember who it was.
Andy Critchell.
That's right. Cause you gave Critchell credit for my statement on Roman Reigns.
I still do.
That's what it was. You shouldn't. Cause I was the one who called Roman. I was the one who said there was something special about Roman Reigns. And Critchell, to his credit, said it's because he's the coolest motherfucker in the room. Because I compared him at the time to Batista, like that he had like a big Batista vibe, as kind of that was his main event potential. And they all have realized a serious level of potential and surpassed it. And be like, Roman Reigns is clearly a bigger star than Batista will ever be or was. And you see that Seth Rollins is like, he can drive a show all by
himself. Oh, yeah.
Don't need anybody else. So, and yes, Dean Ambrose, John Moxley, whatever iteration, he's been a straw that stirs the drink, here and at AEW.
Dean fucking Ambrose.
There you go. I know you're waiting for it. But it's just insane, like, what those guys have become. You brought up the whole Batista thing, and it's really funny, and them being shoved down our throats. Everyone seems to forget. Remember how pissed off people were when Batista won the 2014 Royal Rumble? And they were so mad about it. They were begging for Roman Reigns to win that Royal Rumble, because Roman was in the final two with Batista. Remember, they decided on Roman long before we ever know. And he had eliminated a billion people out of that Rumble, like 12 of them. And everyone wanted Roman to win over Batista, and were pissed. And had Roman won and they strapped the rocket to him, they would have turned on it, of course, because they're wrestling fans. But people would have been behind it because he still would have been part of the Shield. And what's crazy is that it took till 2021 for him to stop using the Shield's theme song. And this is, which is why I decided to do this episode today, was because that's like the last, maybe you could say, okay, he still wears the pants, but whatever. Like, really, the last remnants of the Shield.
Yeah, but I think
gone.
It's, the overall look, like the face, or the chest plate was a big thing that they were still used. I think I don't think people notice the pants as much anymore because the chest plate is gone. So, yeah, between that, and that was my biggest gripe for a while, is I didn't know, at least Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose had created an identity outside of the Shield. Whether it was good, bad, or indifferent, there was still an identity outside of the Shield. Roman Reigns, though, didn't seemingly have an identity outside of the Shield. And it took a while to do that. But once he really developed this head of the table persona and changed, you know, and I think everything he's done has been minor changes, everything else.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's not talking at any different pace. He's not saying anything different. The minor tweaks that they've done with him has made the world of difference, and even things like the music and the changes. But now we know exactly who Roman Reigns is, and having his own identity, I think, has made the difference maker in, you know, again, I think a lot of it too had to do with fans kind of being petty of, you know, oh, he's still relying on the whole Shield gimmick. And I don't think he was relying on it. I think it still suited him. But when you don't have the Shield, it's kind of like that last person still holding on to the remnants of something that doesn't exist anymore. So why give that to him when they could have, you know, really from the get-go created something different. You know, with patience is a virtue, waiting for it. And what he has now has been worth the wait, because it is like just stupid good.
Yeah. What we have now was worth the wait 100%. And here's the other half of it. It made sense to milk the Shield gimmick for all you could, as long as you could, because it was that profitable. It was that bankable, and it made Roman bankable. Plus, I've said it a million times, and we don't have to go into this topic today, the head of the table gimmick works so much better because it took so long, because people complained so much. That's why it works as well as it does now. We've referenced it before. People were begging back before WrestleMania 33 for them to turn Roman Reigns heel, and Triple H in an interview said, he already is. You just don't know it. Like, he's already a heel. Look how you treat him. Like, he's a heel. We've been running with this for a while now, and you just don't get it. So Patrick talked about, and Marin a little bit too, how early the Shield broke up. And I've always believed that you do something, you kill something before it's too late, right? Before it gets old. And you just never know when it gets old until it gets old. And I think the Shield had more years because they had just really turned babyface. They had like a formally, I mean, WrestleMania 30, they did beat the New Age Outlaws and Kane, but it wasn't until they sided with Daniel Bryan that they really became faces in the whole thing. And then of course they had two pay-per-view run with Evolution, and then poof, it's over. You know, Batista quits and Seth Rollins turns heel and we're off to the races. But they probably could have had a year to the top, but it's like when CM Punk turned heel, you know, the night that The Rock came back and said he was going to wrestle him at the Royal Rumble, even though it was still summertime. Like, no one was begging for CM Punk to turn heel, but when he did, it was good. And it was the same thing. Like, that skyrocketed Seth Rollins, because that's when the Architect became a big deal. He was the one who built it up. He's the one who broke it down. He went on an amazing run that you know, Seth Rollins is you know, his career may never ascend to that again. And that's okay, because he's got many years ahead of him. But heel Seth Rollins was the best. And babyface Seth Rollins sucks. They should never do it again. But looking at where they were, and it was, I think the time was right. Let me ask you guys this question, and we'll let Miranda go first this time. Would all three of them, be at the same level today in 2021 had they not debuted as members of the Shield?
No, I don't think so. I think because of the fact that the way that you see different people debut, different pushes, the fact that they were all together as a unit means they were all, for a while, on the same trajectory, all on the same path, all involved in the same storylines. And it wasn't until they broke up that they went in different directions. So the fact that they were able to get elevated together at the same time helped a lot, I think, to then be able to branch them off and go into different storylines and different title scenes. So I don't think so, because there's so many factors that come into play when it comes to someone debuting and being a new superstar on the roster, that I think someone could have fallen through the cracks, or someone would have gotten a better response than somebody else, or someone else's program may have gone over better. Like, I cannot see them being all of them at the same level if they weren't together.
Patrick, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I mostly agree with Miranda. I think it's challenging individually to get three folks to debut and ascend successfully the way that they did as a unit with the Shield. I think that we may have gotten two out of three, maybe even only one out of those.
Yeah,
three.
I was gonna say two out of three is optimistic.
Like one of them gets the John Cena Ruthless Aggression push to debut on the main roster, and then somebody else gets Carlito-esque sort of like. And here's the thing is, when Carlito debuted,
he made no mistake.
He beat John Cena, and it was treated like a relatively big deal. And then just nothing was done with him, and his attitude sucked. And so some of it was on him too. But
so basically, like, that would have been Dean Ambrose,
right? And so, yeah, it's interesting. It's wholly unique. It's what I wish they would have kept doing with the Nexus, to actually build like the guys in the Nexus when they sort of dip their toe in with a similar idea of, we're going to make these guys a big deal. And then they're like, nope, we're just going to make Wade Barrett a big deal. Nope, we're just not going to make any of them a big deal. Like, they stuck with it, and it worked right away. So I think that helped. Seemed like Nexus worked right away. And then it worked until it didn't, whereas the Shield just kept kept going, kept building momentum. And whether that was the gimmick's fault or creative's fault or whoever, that's up for debate, I think, honestly. But yeah, I think as a unit, it was far easier to get them all up there and keep them up there.
WWE obviously made the right choice with the Nexus, because none of them have gone on to be Jon Moxley. None of them have gone on to be megastars in other promotions. Like, that's they didn't ruin them. Like, they just knew. Like, WWE knows better than we do half the time, more than half the time, about these talents and about whether or not they truly have it. They see them backstage. They see how they prepare. They see how they ready themselves. They see how they travel. They know whether or not these people can handle the big spots, the big money spots. And when they can't, then they do what they do. That's where they're at. I will say this about the Shield. I don't think that all three could have ascended to the levels they are today without it. They damn sure got a real good head start. And there's probably a lot of talent who debuted within that 2-year time frame who were like, damn it, I wish I was in the Shield. And, mm-hmm. Yeah. And kind of funny.
Right.
CM Punk has come out and said he campaigned for it to be Chris Hero and not Roman Reigns. Or Cassius Ohno and not Roman Reigns. Can you just imagine? How dumb does he look right now?
I mean, I'm the wrong person to ask that question.
I know.
I was going to say, you know.
Oh, Phil.
Yeah. I mean, I see he had good intentions. I see where he's coming from. He's a tall dude with long hair. Like, I get it.
Here's the other thing is it's actually not, to me, it's not so much that, so the idea is dumb because I can't picture Chris Hero, the character, or Cassius Ohno.
Of course not.
Like, in that sort of persona. But it's not to say that Cassius Ohno couldn't, if motivated and was doing the way that, like, I also don't know that Hero was, I don't know what I'm trying to say about Chris Hero. I'm not trying to disparage the guy.
Yeah.
But it
is a weird thing to think. It's almost like when you find out about, like, another actor who almost got into a role.
Right.
Like, it just would have been weird thinking of anything else.
Because Greg can attest to this. We loved him in ROH
we didn't want to pluck the same character and put him in WWE unless it was with Chris, mm-hmm. Claudio as a tag team.
And so, like, there had to be, like, the fit is just, it's a square peg round hole.
It never would have worked. He was never the right guy for that. It was probably never even consideration. CM Punk loves to rewrite history in later days anyway. So that's that. Besides, and unfortunately for Cassius Ohno, Kevin Owens has the market corner to wrestling in shorts and a sleeveless t-shirt, because that was the only way he was going to be successful. Like, he looks like a fat kid in his pajamas when he wrestles, and that's just not going to work. For WWE, like, you got to go all the way like Bronson Reed, or he wrestled like a dude who was jacked up and slender and lean, but he's not. And it just didn't fit. And that's why it didn't work, which is sad because he's immensely talented. And I think he ends up back there as a trainer someday. I really do. So we kind of got here a little bit, and we'll go here now as we wrap up our Shield conversation. And this time we'll let Patrick go first. Where do you rank the Shield? You started talking about it. Where do you rank them as an all-time faction?
God, I'm going to sound like I'm going to go all full Patrick O'Dowd curmudgeon here, because I think they're a tier below factions like the Horsemen, the Freebirds, the NWO, which to me is the standard of factions, particularly that original NWO. And Degeneration X. I think they're a highly successful faction, but I don't know that they kind of quote unquote altered the business. And I think I left the Horsemen out of that. Like, those were all of those factions I just named really did shape the landscape of their company in some way, shape, or form, or multiple territories in some way, shape, or form. If you're going back to the Freebirds. And while the Shield was a group of main event players that impacted the WWE over around 3 years, they didn't really change the landscape of the company, in my opinion. So, tier two.
Okay. Miranda, what do you think? Where do you rank the Shield?
Yeah, I mean, I think this is almost equivalent, because I put them in top 10, but not top 5. And maybe this is more of my favorite slash best of all time, but echoing what Patrick said, I don't think what they did was revolutionary compared to other factions. But I do think in our modern time, it was one of the best utilizations of factions that we've seen in pro wrestling. And I think for that, it's almost like the fact that you were a faction in our modern time of wrestling. And not only did you make it, but you had all three members become successful. That's pretty special and something that is very rare within a faction. If anything, you think about factions throughout history, exactly what we talked about. How many had multiple people, if not all three, get elevated to main event levels? Very few. And so I feel like that is fairly revolutionary. Will it happen again? No, I really don't think so. Not anytime soon. And I, God only knows, just because of the way that, you know, the WWE is structured. And you also think about factions in general, you know, usually statistically just one or two get the push, get the lift. So, I think though, the fact that they were able to have the impact that they had now in the stars that they produced, and, you know, you can't think about, you know, WWE's main event picture over really the past, you know, 5 to 7 years without thinking about at least one member of the Shield. So for that, definitely top 10 of all time.
So I have the advantage of, you know, having written the format. And so obviously thought about this from day one. To me, it's Horseman number one, NWO number two, and Shield number three. I put Shield over DX. I put Shield over Freebirds. Freebirds is a great example, Patrick. The difference is Terry Gordy went on to success as a tag wrestler in Japan. Michael P.S. Hayes was the really only single star to come out of there. The Shield, right, all three of them became single stars. To me, they did shape the business. They just shaped it in a different way. They didn't alter the landscape as a group, but they went on to alter the landscape as individuals because they were in the main events after that, and it created three main event players. So to me, and I put him over DX only because DX went out there and it was just like it was easier for DX because all they had to do was go out there and be vulgar and different. Whereas the Shield had to come out at a time where no one really knew who they were. And except for, you know, the most well-known person was Seth Rollins because of when he was Tyler Black and the Ring of Honor World Champion. And yet here we are. You know, they jumped the rail, and thankfully Michael Cole didn't pull the, who are these guys? Like, he named them from day one. These are three guys from NXT. Here are their names. Here we go. And so to me, I put them number three because of what they became. When they broke up in 2014, I don't know if I would have put them at number three. But I put them at number three now because of what's happened since then and where all three guys are and what they're able to accomplish. So to me, it's still Horseman 1, NWO 2, Shield 3. The big difference is that the Horsemen were all about one guy. Really, it did help the careers of the other members, but no one was ever going to be better than Ric Flair. The NWO did change the business. It was the reason that, you know, WCW nearly won the war, and then the Shield, because of what it created. It created three nearly equal level main event stars. That's, you know, they're different levels, but they're different levels of main event stars for all three members of the Shield. The New Day is the closest thing you could have to what the Shield has accomplished. I don't see Kofi getting, maybe he gets a second run. Big E might get one or two. And I think time will run out before Xavier Woods does, which is sad. Plus, Xavier Woods can do so many other things that he just may not wrestle long enough to get to that level of Xavier Woods winning a singles title like United States or Intercontinental might be his big moment. Whereas I think E will get one, two. Kofi might get another one, but they won't get
it. He's going to win it in a ladder match at WrestleMania and lose it the next day.
Who, Xavier? I'm fine with that.
Yeah, he'll win it. So you're saying that you think the Shield was better than the great faction that was Los Pericos?
Barely, but yes, they're close number four.
I mean, I'm just saying that's a tough call.
I'm sticking with it.
I don't even know. This is so patronizing.
It's a joke. What? Like, just play along, Miranda. Why are you gonna?
It should be easy for you to argue in favor of it, Miranda.
Well, it's the only Puerto Rican presentation really have a whole lot in WWE.
I mean, I could have gone full racist and just said they were no Nation of Domination. Like,
you're right, they were no Nation of Domination because they were way better.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, yeah. No, I definitely can't go with that, Patrick.
Johnny Idiot Face.
I was gonna say Disciples of Apocalypse. DOA.
Savio Vega was a man among men. I don't get it.
Really good answer.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
The babyface heel of the week is our time to take a look at one of wrestling's most famous or infamous personalities from yesterday or today and decide how they were better, as a babyface or as a heel. This week's babyface heel of the week is none other than former Universal Champion Braun Strowman. Miranda Morales, we'll start with you. How is Braun Strowman better, babyface or heel?
Oh, man. Well, to me, the answer is pretty obvious. Thinking about when he first came about as a member of the Wyatt family and his size, I mean, super scary looking dude. And, you know, in some of his best moments, and even, you know, it took me a while to get used to the name The Monster Among Men, but it grew on me because he is truly a monster. And I feel like a lot of, you know, the memorable moments have been as a heel. You know, person that has been super intimidating and scary, someone who is just, you know, a menace. You know, thinking about all the people he's thrown through, didn't he throw people in pianos and over things and in things? And, you know, and some of those were done to heels. But I feel like that wouldn't have been as successful if he hadn't already done those same heels. I think it's hard, even during looking at this year's WrestleMania and you know, the storyline he had with Shane and about bullying, you know, one, it's always kind of quirky for me when they throw in bullying storylines. Like it's like, that's a reason, cause that's the basis of what they do. You know, they talk crap to each other and,
be a star.
Be a star, everyone. But you know, you can't just look at that. So someone of that size and demeanor and think, man, he's such a nice guy. He's such a good guy. You know, that doesn't seem to like resonate. It is mad. He is a monster. He is a beast. He is a scary, scary dude. And I, you know, I feel more of a connection to his work when he's been a heel.
Patrick, what do you think?
The roller coaster of my experience with Braun Strowman, from I don't buy this guy to I see why this guy should be world champion to I'm back to can I have my money back, has been one thing. But I gotta agree with Miranda in the sense that he's been the most interesting and compelling when he's just destroying people. And like, it's hard to take something, you know, you were talking about the bullying angle, Miranda. It's just hard. Like, we made fun of his storyline going into WrestleMania. Like, from the way Greg would just say he's being made fun of because he's stupid. Like, and whether you meant to or not, Greg, you had like this tone that was like, this is dumb. And it's hard to get behind a, like, one, to be, I kind of agree with a lot of old school guys, to be a good babyface, you got to be able to sell. And nobody wants to see a giant ass dude like Braun Strowman selling, like selling too much. And it's just hard to buy him as a baby right now. He's, I don't know. He's not the Undertaker. The Undertaker is like the only like mythic giant babyface who, partially by virtue of longevity, there was no choice but to be a babyface. Braun Strowman has not been as entertaining. He's lost, in my opinion, he's lost a little bit of his luster and his edge that he had when he was really going through that dominant on his own, just destroying everything in his path. Heel. So I vote heel.
For all the reasons you guys both listed, I think he's better as a babyface. For all the same reasons. Like, literally, okay. Think back to ECW, right? New Jack was a heel. But when that music hit and he came out with a grocery cart full of plunder, those fans went crazy. And to me, remember the Attitude Era when people would just start filling the ring and then the glass would break and people would go nuts? If you've got like 6 or 7 guys fighting in a ring right now on Raw and all of a sudden Braun's theme song hits, like a live crowd would go crazy. He's best used as a babyface when used properly as a babyface, and that's in small doses. I don't need 3 matches of Braun Strowman on Raw ever. I need Braun Strowman to come out there and people are like, oh shit, like here comes Braun. Like you talked about him getting putting people through pianos and whatever. We saw that live on SmackDown here in Phoenix with the Symphony of Destruction match, and he was the most over person in the match as a baby. I think he was he Intercontinental Champion? Like, I always forget. I think he was like just the weirdest run that he would have as an Intercontinental Champion. But to me, Braun is best used in small doses as a babyface because people would get behind that. Like people, it's that age old like gladiator aspect. Like just watching somebody come out and beat the crap out of people is that's why. Go watch any WWE pay per view when Brock Lesnar's music hits, people pop because they want to see him come out and destroy some people. Especially when he came out at the Money in the Bank event that Patrick was at. Like that crowd went crazy because they didn't know he was going to be there. Yes, that to me is the best way to use Braun Strowman, is to use him in smaller doses as an ass-kicking babyface, because that'll drive the fans crazy. Wait, obviously, until we have fans back in the buildings permanently, but to me, that's the best way to use him. But still, 2 votes heel, 1 vote babyface for this week's Babyface Heel of the Week, of course, being none other than Braun Strowman.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
An eventful Monday night saw the return of Eva Marie to Raw, and a new stable formed on Main Event in support of the modern-day Maharaja himself, Jinder Mahal. Happy returns for all. In order to keep this directed and you know, time sensitive, we'll let you guys kind of dig into this a little bit. Patrick will go first. Who's going to have the better run, Eva Marie or Jinder Mahal? Starting now, not looking at what they did before.
Eva Marie.
You piece of shit bastard.
Am I wrong?
Yes, you're wrong. He's absolutely wrong.
No, you're living in your little love affair with Jinder Mahal. I get it. And you're gonna talk to us about how great it is. But come on, you know that the WWE, she's attractive. Hopefully she has learned some things, has learned a new hold or two. Keep the MAGA stuff in check and she'll be fine. But I think she'll be the one that gets the bigger run.
Miranda.
Look at the disappointment in your voice. Oh, it's
Greg, remind me, so what show did Eva Marie debut on?
That would be Monday Night Raw.
And Jinder Mahal, where did he re-debut?
That was in a battle of former world champions against Jeff Hardy on Main Event.
On Main Event.
Yes, on Main Event.
Case closed. That's that. Just the fact that the investment they viewed to put Eva Marie, not even in a match, just in a vignette on Raw versus, Main Event. I feel like that airtime is already an indicator of where they see these two going. And it's not that I even prefer, I actually hope Eva Marie maybe comes back in a managerial role, not in an in-ring role, because I'd love for them to use the heat, because they know she's a heat magnet, to give the rub, you know, to somebody else. But I just feel like already where the placement between the two was, that they're already seeing more of a, what, return on investment in Eva Marie than they do on Jinder Mahal. Now that I'm saying that's good or bad or fair, but I'm just, that's, you know, the airtime is an indicator of where they see these two people going.
We're going to revisit this on May 4th, whatever, the first show of May of 2022, and you will both see the error of your ways.
I hope so. I hope so.
When the modern day Maharaja Jinder Mahal is back where he belongs.
Five, five-time 24/7 champion.
I'm very disappointed right now. Very.
So, you know, it's funny, Miranda. Because you actually set yourself up a little bit with the main event argument, because he could have just gone, look what he showed out of the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal and the heights that he attained to on a WrestleMania pre-show. There you go, Greg. There's your support for me. Now, just remember that Eva Marie will have the bigger run.
She won't even get to be 24/7 champion. So don't even start that with me on Eva Marie. She won't be there in May of next year, and Jinder Mahal will be, provided he doesn't get hurt. I'm so disappointed that I'm just going to tell everybody right now to always use your head. We'll see you next time.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.